Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and the truth of the Bible and the correct biblical interpretations of the Bible and how they affect us today, those of us who live in the end times. Now, there is coming a one-world religion. So in order to understand that, we need to realize what God has taught. We also need to realize that Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So when would you have an emasculated Christianity of this world that is no more than just rename paganism with Christian-sounding names, another Jesus, another Christ, another Father, because they have combined the other religions of this world into it, and now they are going to bring all the religions together in one world religion. A lot of people are going to say, well, isn't that nice? Hooray, it's about time that we get Christians and Muslims together so they won't be killing each other. Won't that be nice? You see, remember this. Satan, who's deceiving this whole world, always brings an apparent benefit while he is leading people into sin. Sound like the Garden of Eden? Sound like the churches you look at today? That's why you need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? We're living in critical times, and you need to understand what should you do when you see the foundations of all Christianity that you know of in the world falling apart very rapidly, and now, because they're falling apart, as we will see, I hope I can bring you some things in this segment, what they are doing, and they are creating what is called Chrislam. That sound intriguing? Let's come to Deuteronomy 12. Let's see what God commanded the Israelites that they should do when they went into the promised land to take over from the Canaanites the land that God gave them. And God is the one who told them to do it. And we'll see the reasons why. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 12. These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to do in the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. That is, all the time and its succeeding generations. So here's what he commanded them to do. You shall utterly destroy all their sacred places where the nations which you shall possess had served their gods. On the high mountains, and on the hills, and under every green tree. And you shall demolish their altars, and smash their standing pillars, and burn their asherim, those are the female goddesses, with fire, and shall cut to shards their graven images of their gods, and destroy their names out of that place. You shall not do so to the Lord your God. Now, how clear is that? Now, why did God want that? Because there is only one way to worship God, according to his instructions. Now, let's come over here a little further toward the end of the chapter. Verse 28, be careful to observe and obey all these words. Now, you see, not just commandments, words. What did Jesus say? The one who loves me keeps my word, meaning his whole message. And the word that I bring is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. The one who hates me does not keep my words. Ask yourself the question, which one am I? Why did God do this? Because he wanted to bless them. He wanted them to live long. He wanted them to be prosperous. He wanted them to enjoy life. He wanted them to have a society that would be the envy of the whole world, to where the different nations would come and say, "What nation has such wise and understanding laws and statutes? So great is all of these that Israel possesses." No, but all the 12 tribes of Israel, rather than becoming what God wanted them to become, wanted to be like all the nations of the world. Sound a little bit like what's going on today, too? Yes, indeed. "When the Lord your God shall cut off the nations before you where you go to possess them, and you take their place and dwell in their land." Now here comes a warning. "Take heed to yourself that you do not become ensnared by following them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not ask about their God, saying, 'How did these nations serve their gods, that I may also do likewise?' You shall not do so to the Lord your God." Now, can that be any more clear than that? Is that hard to understand? But why do people today in our politically correct society want to be so diverse and to be so, how shall we say, tolerant of other religions, that they sin against God? Let's read what he says. Verse 31. "You shall not do so to the Lord your God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. Even their sons and their daughters they burned in the fire to their gods, and even Solomon did that, and other kings of Israel and Judah did that. Yes, take their little infants. Take them up to God, the God of Moloch, where there was a great furnace fire roaring up from beneath, and he would put his outstretched arms, all made of bronze, and they would put their little children right into those arms, and then the arms would go back like this and drop them into the fire and burn them. That's why God hates it. That's why God says, don't do it. Notice what we are to do. Verse 32, "Whatsoever thing that I command you, be careful to do it. You shall not add to it or take away from it." And isn't that what we're told in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation? Don't add to it, don't take away from it. But what are people doing today? Do you know what happened on Sunday, June 23rd? Do you know what the so-called Christian world was doing? You won't believe this. Now, here's what they did. It was called Spiritual Treason Sunday. Dozens of churches to read from the Quran this Sunday, when God says, you shall not speak of their God, you shall not invite them into your assembly. And what have they done? Now, if you think this is shocking, wait until we get through this series. Wait until you understand how vast that this movement has become. Quote, "Dozens of Christian churches from Park Hill Congregational in Denver to Hillview United Methodist in Boise, Idaho, and First United Lutheran in San Francisco to St. Elizabeth's Episcopal Church in Honolulu are planning to send a message both here at home and to the Arab and Muslim world about our respect for Islam, with a time to read the Quran during worship this Sunday." They're sinning against God. See, the nation is afraid of the terrorists, and all of them are Muslims. See, instead of turning to God and let God fight the battles for them, where God said that if you love me and keep my commandments, 5 of you will chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000. But what do we have today? One terrorist chases thousands. And because of terrorists, we all have to be searched from head to toe if we go fly on a plane. That need not be. God would fight our battles for us. But we don't trust in God. As a nation, we've rejected God. And now, because we're still religious and want to get along with them, oh, let's show them how kind we are. I wonder if the one who read from the Quran would dare read the section out of the Quran where it says, kill every Christian. Oh, no. Oh, we'll read some good things in the portion of the Quran. That's why it's called Chrislam. And by the way, they also had a Jewish rabbi, and they had a Buddhist priest, and they also had a Hindu priest. They had a Catholic priest and imams. Ask the question, how far will it go? Who is sponsoring? Why are they doing it? Well, the truth is because Satan the devil is inspiring the movement for a one world religion. Now, I'd like to tell you who's behind this. There's a website called Faith Shared, Uniting in Prayer and Understanding, run by Rick Warren, the head of the Saddleback Church in Southern California, supposedly a Christian evangelical. The writer of the book, which so many churches have ascribed to, The Purpose-Driven Church. And the purpose-driven church is the purpose of men, not the Jesus Christ-led church of God. But the purpose-driven church with the teachings of men, the ideas of men, the compromise of men, seeking to appear good, to destroy Christianity even more by inviting other so-called faiths to come with us and let's find common ground. Chrislam. Are you ready for it? Now, your Sunday-keeping church may denounce it. That's fine, well, and good. But are they willing to denounce the other sins they have? Sunday-keeping, holiday-keeping, a false Christ, false doctrinal beliefs, lawlessness by saying that Jesus did away with the law, making Jesus Christ the minister of sin. Are they willing to denounce those things from the pulpit? Is there a minister out there willing to say, all congregants, what we are going to do, we're going to take a month to study the Sabbath in the Bible, so we can understand the truth about the Sabbath day. And then after that, we're going to study for a month on the holy days of God in the Bible, so we can understand those. And that at the end of those 2 months, we are going to call on everyone that's on the church rolls of this church to repent and start meeting on the Sabbath to renounce Christmas, Halloween, Easter, and New Year's, and keep the Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, Trumpets, Atonement, Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. You think that's going to happen? No, it won't, because here's what they want. Anti-Muslim bigotry in America today. There's a pervasive and unsettling trend of anti-Muslim violence, discrimination, and rhetoric, as well as general lack of understanding about Islam in America today. Oh, my! Isn't that a great sin? Hate crimes. Resisting building mosques. And discrimination. Why are they here? Why are they allowed to do that? Because, you see, we have freedom of religion here in America. But the founders never realized how far that this would go. Then it talks about the desecration of the Quran. One man burned a Quran. Oh, the whole world was all up in the air because this might offend some tender sensitivities of the Muslims. But how many Bibles have they burned? How many Christians have they killed, even Christians in this world? Are they willing to strike out of the Quran, kill every Christian? No, they're not willing to do like one Muslim did. He read the Bible and repented and accepted Jesus Christ. And you know what he said? The thing that struck him most about the difference between the two is that in the Quran, it doesn't talk about the love of God. It's filled with hate. It's filled with violence. Not what God wants. Desecration of the Quran. Anti-Sharia laws. Guess what? Certain states have said they will not allow Sharia law in their states because our laws are derived from the Constitution and the Bible, not from the Quran. But you see, in Michigan, they have the largest Muslim population in America. And you know what they are now accepting? Muslims with four wives. Sharia law is live and well in Michigan. And most people don't understand what Sharia law is. Sharia law is religious enforcement of the laws of the Quran, which was inspired by a demon-possessed man, not of God. They're going to uphold Sharia law when there are honor killings, when a man kills his daughter because she went out on a date with someone who was not a Muslim, came home, sliced her throat. Oh, don't arrest me. That's part of my religion. That's an honor killing. Here, Rick Warren and his faith shared, uniting in prayer and understanding, denounces the rejection of Sharia law. Then another problem, stereotyping Muslims as radicals. Where does radical Islam come from? The Jewish community? Right, so here's what they're going to do, and here's the justification of doing it. We live in a pluralistic society. People representing different faiths and cultures coexist, live, work, and struggle together. We are often challenged by misinformation and stereotypes, and these challenges often manifest themselves in mistrust, fear, prejudice, and violence. So how can we, as communities of faith, begin to respond to the challenges of our time by holding to and affirming our own identity? You won't, because once the camel gets his nose under the tent, the whole herd comes in. Do you understand what's happening? Do you understand why it's happening? This is happening by deliberate subterfuge to destroy Christianity, even in the form that it is in the world with Sunday keeping and all its paganism. And that's coming because they refuse to repent. That's coming because they rejected Jesus Christ and God the Father by accepting an insipid Christianity. Let's go on. Clearly, the more we learn about each other and our identity in relation to others, the better we respond to these challenges. On June 26, through Faith Shared, thousands of congregants from all over the nation will share scripture from each other's faith communities. Aren't we wonderful people? We'll read some platitudes out of the Quran, and we'll read something from the book of Proverbs, and maybe some nice sayings about the wisdom sayings of Jesus. And then the rabbi will read something from the Torah, and the Hindu priest will read something from his holy book, so-called, and the Buddhist will have their input. And maybe the Baha'is will have their input. Oh, this is a wonderful thing. Wait until I do the segment on Religions United. That'll blow your mind. If you think this is mind-blowing, you don't have a clue as to what's happening in the world. If you've been glued to your television set watching all the trial of Casey Anthony and don't even know that this is happening, you have been led down the emotional trail of nonsense. That's what's been happening. Yes, indeed. They say, congregants in an international and welcoming manner will make space in their houses of worship during their services for friends and neighbors to share sacred and holy texts from different religious perspectives. We will, through this simple act of sharing, begin in some cases continue the process that empowers a community to demonstrate how our faith unites rather than divides us. We will express on this day understanding among different faiths. How's this going to work out? I'll tell you, it's going to lead to a one-world religion. Do you understand that? And what are you going to do in your life? Well, that's the very reason for church at home. Let's come here to Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Let's see what God says about those ministers who professed the name of the true God, who professed to worship Jesus Christ, who say that they represent God, who stand in the pulpit and preach lies and compromise and are led astray and inspired of Satan the devil and appear as angels of light and ministers of righteousness, and how goody-two-shoe that we are. Let me tell you what God says. Let me tell you why God is a jealous God. Let's pick it up here in verse 20. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he is executed, until he has performed the purposes of his heart. In the latter days you shall understand it perfectly. Are you willing to understand? Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear and a mind to think and to understand the word of God? Or have you so wasted your mind on television and music and playthings and false religions and traditions of men that you can't understand a thing? Notice what God says about men like this. He says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Let's see what they prophesied. Let's see how they said to do this. Doesn't this sound like the counsel of Balaam to Balak? May we suggest the following ideas? Coffee clutches. Oh, yes, let's get together and talk this over. Coffee. Youth. Have youth programs. Bring them together. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Now, what if one of the Muslim girls in these youth programs is attracted to a Christian young fellow, and they date, and then her father kills her in an honor killing? My, how have we not brought ecumenism to the full? Media reach outs. Yes, let the media know. Celebrate. Faith traditions embraced by a larger and more diverse faith community. Now, you've seen this on television, have you? This long table out in the middle of a wonderful pasture on a sunny day, and it shows people from every religion and every society and every community and every race bringing food together to sit down and share a meal together. You know what that is? That is a psychological brainwashing to get you to accept this kind of sin and nonsense. So the question is, what are you going to do? Do you love God? Are you going to seek Him? Are you going to continue to waddle down the path of least resistance and end up in Chrislam? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. I know these are not pleasant things to hear, but you got to hear them, because this is what's happening. And if I don't warn you and tell you, then God is going to have judgment upon me. So thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.